There was one portion of that, one verse of that song that says, open our ears that we might hear. And that's my prayer this morning, is that we would open our ears to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as preached by our brother. I do pray for him, and I pray for you. And I ask that you would give our brother Steve your undivided attention. Elder Steve McGee.
Good morning. Good to see you out this cold morning. It is cold, but it's warm in here. I was looking out in this group of loved ones and thinking how blessed we are. How blessed we are to be able to come together and worship, and we're one mind and one heart. And thinking about some sermons that we've enjoyed as of late, and thinking about one in particular that there is lots of evil in this world, lots of negativity. But that's not what we are to be that concerned with. We are to be concerned with our own spirituality and how we follow those commandments and the workings of the Spirit. For that's truly the work that is before us. There was an old comic strip. You'd have to be probably as old as Michelle to remember that comic strip. It was called Pogo. And she shakes her head. She remembers it. She's old. And in that, one of the characters, I believe he was a possum, made the statement that I have seen the enemy, and he is us. And to some degree, that's what we work against. Or we work for, is those inclinations that come upon us from time to time that would lead us away from the gospel. And that's why we need to be preached to often. And as I was reading, I've been doing a lot of reading as of late. And most of the time, most of my readings have been in the Gospels. And the majority of those Gospels, I turn to the parables, straight out of the words of Christ. And it's no different today. I'm going to read. First reading is rather lengthy. And so follow along, see how many, you can count the mistakes I make, write them down, and you can tell me about it later. But I'm going to turn to the 7th chapter of Mark, and I'm going to read the first 23 verses. And it's all one thought, and it's to you and I. I believe it's to you and I. You may disagree, but I believe it is. Even though he is speaking to some Pharisees and some scribes that have come to hear him, all the way from Jerusalem. And we know that that's a long ways. They made a lengthy trip. He is up by the Sea of Galilee when this takes place, and it's 40, 50 miles away. And so they're traveling by foot, so they've come a long ways. And it says, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands oft, eat not. They didn't touch anything, bring it to their lips, unless they had washed their hands. holding the traditions of the elders. And they took this to extreme. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brassen vessels and of tables. And we know, those of you who have studied Leviticus, there is lots of things that they put on the table, the do's and the don'ts, and every aspect of their life was filled with commandments. And if you really look at those commandments as they were given back in Leviticus and where these people were out in the wilderness, they made a lot of sense. None of this cross-contamination and so forth. My wife has made sure that I don't do that when I'm preparing food. She makes sure that I'm careful. And so it was with the Lord, and it made perfect sense. But these people took it to extremes, and the very act became a law and not the purpose behind it. And when the Pharisee and the scribes asked, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well has Elias the prophet, of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So he turned it right back on to them. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions." And you're following along and said, "Nah, don't do that. That's not me. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Sounds pretty severe. Sounds very severe. "But ye say," men say, this is how they have twisted this commandment, "if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, or is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye." Do you understand what he's saying here? No, I don't understand. There was a commandment given that you honor your father and your mother. And if you don't, if you curse them, you're going to die. Well, that's what the Jews did. They didn't curse their mothers or their fathers. But when they got a little older, did they take care of them? No. They did not take care of them. They said, "You're on your own. You're on your own." And the Lord said, "That's wrong. In such you are cursing your mother and your father." Those men had twisted the commandments of God to make it fit, to make it easy, to change the very spirit of the commandment. And it's the spirit of the commandments that we are to be concerned with. It was the spirit of the commandment that they were to be concerned with, not the letter of the law. "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, Those are they that defile the man. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house of the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. And you look at me and you say, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. What in the world does that have to do with me? I don't do that. I don't do that. Maybe you don't, but just maybe you do. Maybe I do. This parable was begun by commandments, those of God and those of man. And the only difference between the two is man's version of God's commandments. When they enter into a man and they're analyzed and they're digested and they're twisted, guess what happens? They come out as draught, waste. They do. They do. What's the difference? Verse 19, that's the difference. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, or into our mind, or your mind, or my mind. Well, when they go into our minds and not our hearts, then they're going to come out twisted and perverted and wrong. They're going to come out as waste. Of no worth. Only when God's commandments go into our hearts and they come out from us will it become a righteous work. I'm sorry, but we can know that they're right and know, you know, okay, I'm going to do this. Because God commanded it. It's God's commandment. And so we do it. And we kept the commandments of God. But you know something? It's not a righteous work. It's not a righteous work. Just because we obey them doesn't make it righteous. What makes it righteous is when it enters into our heart and it comes out. I want to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that doeth iniquity. Those works sound good, don't they? Well, where did they proceed? Out of the mind, not out of the heart. I want to turn to Jeremiah, 31st. You don't have to turn to it. You know it by heart. 31st chapter, 31 through 34. Behold, the day come, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, when my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Tell me when I'm reading too fast, otherwise my wife will. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. This is your covenant. This is my covenant, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, not in their minds. Not in our minds. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And you know him. He's entered into your heart. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Do you understand what he just said? Do you understand what I just read? What the difference is? When his spirit enters in, into us, and we allow that spirit into our hearts, then we receive the commandments. Then we understand through our heart, not through our imaginations of our minds, but through our heart, then they become righteous works. Because of that spirit, we understand the written commandments. You know, scholars, those who read and read, man, they can go all through the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelation. This is a commandment. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Well, if that's where it comes from, guess what happens? It's cast out as dross. It's of no worth. Unless they enter into your heart where that spirit, the spirit of the Lord resides, it's of no worth. Absolutely none. And he used to say, I do that, Steve, I do that, I do that. Oh, yes, I do that. Or I want to do it. Or I think I can do it. Or maybe I can do it. Well, I'm gonna read a scripture, and then I want you to see if you do it. Okay? I'm gonna turn to Matthew, and I'm gonna turn to the fifth chapter, and I'm gonna read the latter part of the fifth chapter of Matthew. 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What's he saying here? Saying to love all people, isn't he? And it's a commandment, is it not? So, do you do it? Can you do it? Have you done it? Say, I want to do it. Okay, I want to do it, but I want you to be honest. I want to be honest. We need to be honest. Do I? Do you? You know? Is it just entering in to the mind, okay? And we're making that attempt, we're making that effort, we're making it look good, but does it come forth out of the heart? Man, I want to do it, you know? I want to do that. I want to keep, I mean, there's two great commandments, isn't it? Well, this is one of them. You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if we keep all those others if we don't do this. Isn't this, I mean, maybe I'm reading the scriptures wrong, but this is one of the two great commandments. So how do you do it? How in the world are you going to do it? How are we to do it? I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Read 12 through 16. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth." What are we talking about? Entering into the mind. "Comparing spiritual things, but which the Holy Ghost teaches." Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So, I'm to love mankind. And it's only discerned, I can only do it through the Spirit. Is that right? Because God's wisdom to our minds is foolishness. You go tell the world to love the most evil man you can think of that has been or is now, and what's it going to be? They're going to say, "Well, that's really dumb. That's really dumb. It's foolish to do that. That's man's wisdom." God's commandment is that we do just that. Just that. 15. "And he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct?" My goodness gracious. That's a commandment of the Lord. We're not here to question that commandment of the Lord. We're here to receive it into our, not in our minds, but into our hearts. There's only one way to do that, and that's that last phrase. But we have the mind of Christ, and that's the way we do it. There is no other way but to have the mind of Christ. You know, he's given us all the words of truth in the scriptures and other ways through his Holy Ghost. But I like, and I'm not going to turn to it, I'm just going to quote it. It's from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. And it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the will of God, okay? Now, we know that was the will of the sons of Mosiah. Now, is that your will? I mean, is it your will? Is it coming from your heart, or is that your will because you know that's what the Lord expects? the Lord loves all mankind. The question is, can you and do you? And don't say yes unless it's true. You know? Do not, within your own heart and your own mind, say yes unless it's true. God's not a respecter of persons. So are you? Am I? It says, I mean, that's scriptural. He is not a respecter of persons. Now, you have to ask, I mean, I need to ask myself, do I love those people? And there, I can say without reservation, I love everyone in this room. But I can't say that outside of this room and be honest. Now, can you? And yet, it's a commandment. And I know it's a commandment. And I know that God does. And I know, goodness gracious, do I know, dealing with the public, there are a lot of people out there, it's not easy to love, is it? There are a lot of people that it's just really easier to just avoid. So I don't have to make a choice whether to love them or not. Do you offer your help and your love? Ask yourself this. To those that it's easy to do, too. And that's where it goes. Let me carry this further. People that you consider are worthy of it. Because that's really what it boils down to. We are making a judgment call. Whether they are worthy of my money, of my time, of my effort, of my love. And I kind of reserve it. And I kind of put it out in reservation to others. You know that scripture I read? He causes the rain to fall upon the evil and the good, and he causes the sun to shine upon both also. His love doesn't have a reservation. And he doesn't pick and choose. So, I mean, do you do? I do it. I'm going to be quite honest. I do it. And I can dare say that most everybody, I'm not going to say everybody, I'm not even going to say most, I'm going to say a lot of you are in the same situation I am. Is it wrong? Absolutely. Is it wrong? No doubt. You know, there's no doubt. So how do you make the correction? Okay, how do you love indiscriminately, without judgment? How in the world do you love someone that is not easy to love? They're not even easy to be around, you know? Talk to? No. Walk a half a mile to avoid talking to them, because it's easier. So how do you do it? I want to read you three scriptures in a row. And the first one is in Titus. It's a real, somebody's going to have to come up here and find it for me. It's right after Timothy. A little bitty short, right after Timothy. I'm going to read two verses. Titus 1, 1 and 2. It says, Paul, a servant of God, follow along. Okay? Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now I want you to turn to Psalms, the 139th Psalm. I'm going to read 15 and 16. And try to understand what's being said. I'm going to explain it to you once I read these. My substance was not hid from thee, and when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I know, okay, I'm going to explain this to you. Now I want you to turn to Jeremiah. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah 1. These all fit together. These are what is going to make a difference in how you're able to love someone. Jeremiah 1, I'm going to read 4 and 5. You know this. You quote this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I was formed in the belly, I knew you. And before you camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What do these scriptures have in common, and what are they saying? Titus, in the very beginning, God had a plan, and that plan was eternal life, and it was for all souls. Psalms, it says, in the beginning, every soul was created. Every soul that ever has been or ever will be was created in the beginning. And I'm going to tell you probably the most important, and that's Jeremiah. Of all those souls that were created, and the plan of eternal life, God has a purpose. Every person, whether you like them or not, whether you love them or not, has a purpose in God's plan. Every person that you see, within them resides a soul that was created from the very beginning. And from the very beginning, our Father in heaven had a purpose and a mission for that soul. Whether it be that drunk that is passed out on the sidewalk, in the very beginning, God had a purpose for that person and a mission for that soul that he placed within that body. And a love. And goodness gracious, do we recognize that? That person that is not easy to be around or easy to love is loved of God and was given a purpose and was given a soul with a purpose from the very beginning. And that is true. You better let that commandment enter into your heart with that realization. That is the only way that we can do it, is have that realization when we come up to that person that it is not easy to talk to and not easy to be around, with a realization that they have a soul within them that was created from the very beginning with an absolute mission and purpose given to them of God. And we don't have the right, we dare not take the right, not to encourage them and show them the love that God has given us in abundance. Because that's our mission and that's our purpose. That is of the two great commandments which all other things hang upon. God is waiting for that purpose and that mission to be fulfilled in every person out there. Everybody, not just here in the Church of Christ where it's easy to love each other, but everybody. Are they worthy? The question, knowing those scriptures, go over those scriptures. Because that's exactly what it's saying. Go over those scriptures. Know that they are true. Know that they are God's word. And that's exactly what they says. They say. Yeah. Need a teacher. So are and is everybody worthy of our love? Absolutely. It's God's commandment to me and you. And what we need to be determining now is one of two things in fulfilling that commandment. Or attempting to fulfill that commandment is whether it's going to come out as draught or if it's going to come out as a righteous work. If you start to analyze it, if you start to second guess it, if you start to use man's wisdom, your wisdom, it's going to come out as rot, as refuge. If you analyze these scriptures with your heart and you allow them to come into your heart and you allow God's Spirit to allow that to be fulfilled, it's going to be a righteous work. We're no longer going to worry. We're no longer going to worry about the evil in the world. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to worry about the souls in this world that have a purpose, God's purpose, to be fulfilled in them. Just like the sons of Mosiah. Just exactly like the sons of Mosiah. They recognized those three scriptures, although they weren't written. Well, some of them were written. Yeah, they were written. All except Titus. They recognized it, and they saw that they were fulfilled, not out of obligation, but through the love of God. That's the message I want to deliver this morning. I hope that you digest it with your heart and not your mind. As we go down to partake of food, you can digest that. But I hope you digest this with your heart. And if you do, I know that we're going to start looking at people in a different way. this world, we're going to look at the mission and the purpose of all souls.